It's eat, drink, talk.
Yum, yummy.
The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. And here comes the main course.
Yummy.
And you, listener, have successfully downloaded Eat, Drink, Talk, the podcast that's all about cuisine, restaurants, dining, bars in Louisville, KY. My co-host is Carolyn McLean.
Yo, how you doing?
We're doing great. We're talking about food. We just had this great interview in here you're going to hear in a minute with the great chef Bobby Benjamin.
Can I just say that I think I have a crush on him?
Oh, do you? Well.
Like, he walked in, I was like, whoa. Hey!
Well, good. Well, you have crushes. I know you have a crush on me since I'm on this diet plan. I'm losing all this weight.
You are looking fly over there.
Oh, man, I am into it. I got my weight down another pound today, right before I'm going on vacation. So that's going to be fun. So you'll have to do the whole thing by yourself next week, or you'll have a co-host.
I picked a co-host, yeah, because I think it's the show's more fun with two voices.
It is. So tune in next week for that. I'll be in the sunny beaches of Fort Lauderdale and on a boat somewhere.
Are you gonna check your phone? Or are you gonna really disconnect?
I think I'll really disconnect. I don't have a problem.
Okay.
I like doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Some people are able to do that, and yeah. I'm jealous of those people, but
It's a fun thing. There's nothing really that important that I can't disconnect for a few days. So, anyway, but before I go, I'm doing this show and a Rusty Satellite show, and very much looking forward to that. This is a great project we're doing. We're in our second week together, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
How you like it so far?
I love it. I mean, we're focusing on the culinary scene of my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, and we're talking about all the great restaurants and offerings and events in the River City, and especially bourbonism, you know, hot and heavy here in the bluegrass state. And I love it because I love where I live. I've moved away and I've returned several times, and I'm never leaving again, and I am such a ambassador for the city of Louisville, Kentucky.
There
so I'm happy to spread the spirit.
Key thing, be an ambassador. We got a lot of good feedback on our first show with Chef Dave Danielson. He was a great treat, and that was a lot of fun. But this time, we're going to go with Bobby Benjamin. Now,
chef
you
and
have
owner.
A crush on him, but you
I just didn't know what he looked like.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you listen to a podcast and you wonder what someone looks like after you keep hearing their voice.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what he looked like. And he walked in and he looked like every bit of a celebrity chef type star that you would see on any of those shows on television. So he walked in like, damn.
Yeah.
Sorry,
well,
honey. I'm married happily, but sorry. You know, we know he's got his little girl crushes. I have to hear about that on the radio.
He's got his two daughters and a full life here in Louisville. We're glad that he's an import, and we're glad to have him. He was on the Rusty Satellite Show in December of 2016. You can look that up if you like. But that was at a time when Lola's Upstairs was just getting open, just being open. And that building on down where the Butchertown Grocery is has some history. You said you have some history with that.
Yeah, that building's on 1076 Washington Street, if no one's been there before. And it was a grocery store back in the day, hence the name Butchertown Grocery. Because I always wonder, like, why would they name it that? And I was like, oh.
Sound like a restaurant.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, it used to be the Blind Pig was upstairs, and I used to go to the Blind Pig, and now it's Lola's, and it's, you know, downstairs. Everything's changed hands and looks and feels and food and menu.
It's what a great neighborhood. I tell you, you know, you got Play across the street, the Copper and King's place, and all this stuff.
Well, in the Butchertown Market for people that like to shop.
Our boy Andy Bleeding is getting people in there.
Cellar Door Chocolates.
He's got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yes.
So anyway, very interesting conversation I think we had with Bobby, and let's go ahead and go to it right now.
Alongside both of us, we have a very special guest today, a chef that shoots from the hip. And we've been looking forward to interviewing you, chef and owner of Butchertown Grocery, Bobby Benjamin. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Bobby.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
You know, you kind of look like Elvis. Has anyone said that to you before?
No.
With tattoos, though.
With tattoos, that's right.
Yeah. You know, he's got that slick back black hair. You know, are you getting an Elvis vibe yet?
No, I'm getting a, like, this is earlier than I usually get up.
No, it's not. You know, I'm usually up at 6:30 in the morning every single day.
Yeah, so you're an early riser.
I'm early and I stay up late. I don't need much sleep.
Yeah. Right? Even with two kids?
Yes. I sleep about approximately 4 hours.
Whoa.
Maybe 4.5 hours.
You look good for sleeping just 4 hours.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So Butchertown Grocery, award-winning restaurant in Louisville that opened in, what, fall of 2015? So you're heading into your fourth summer?
Yes. We opened up a day before Thanksgiving.
Okay. I find it interesting that the three owners are Bobby, the drummer from the group My Morning Jacket, and a local attorney. Right. How the hell did the three of you come together to start this restaurant?
Actually, it's just I just have one business partner now.
So, okay.
But yeah, I mean, you know, for us to really come together and to start Butchertown Grocery, I think was great. But for where we're at right now, I think that we're heading the right direction.
And what direction is that? I know you have some new menu offerings, but you still have that great gnocchi and broccolini.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things you just can't take off the menu, you know. So what we try to do is, you know, we keep about 70% of the menu. Pretty much the same with all our staples. But then we also run a lot of different specials every single week. And we also play around with a lot of different seasonal direction, you know. So what will happen is, I work with a farm, Spade and Table. She's amazing. She does just phenomenal produce. And so what she'll do is she'll give me whatever I want through the season, and I usually just buy everything that she has. So,
What are some of those items right now, some of those seasonal? I know you just changed it.
Yeah, we just finished using a lot of the spinach. We were doing a spinach ravioli with a ricotta, and then it's also with a little bit of braised artichoke and basil.
Ugh. Always makes me hungry when the chefs start rolling off the tongue with what they're serving.
Shouldn't be doing this before lunch.
That's right.
So Rick had the pleasure of interviewing you on Rusty last year?
December of 2016 we got together at your place. You were just opening Lola's back then.
Oh, yeah.
And that seems to have been a resounding success.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun. You know, I'm very, very excited for our beverage director actually right now with her beverage program. I think that it's been very, very exciting to see what she's doing with her cocktail program and with her wine menu. We collaborate a lot on wine. We taste wine together pretty much usually every day. but she's, you know, she's really just absolutely, I've just watched her blossom into this amazing beverage director, and she has given me some cocktails that are some of the best cocktails I've ever had in my whole life.
Boy, I remember some of the ones on the original menu. I can't remember their names. They had cool names. Mm-hmm, I remember. Mm-hmm. It's Nick, right?
Yeah, Nick Christensen. Yes.
Nick Christensen. She's great.
Yeah.
So,
well, for folks that don't know, Lola's is upstairs.
It's upstairs, yes.
Yeah, it's like a clubby vibe, right?
It is.
Sort of a prohibition look did that change?
It still has that look and feel. I mean, you know, you can't do anything with the building, you know.
Yeah.
I love the building.
It's dark.
Yeah, the building's been there forever, you know. So it's nice to, you know, really tip your hat off to what that building wants to be.
And if Rick had just mentioned that he was in love with the cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah, the cheeseburgers.
That only come out at special days and special times.
They only come
out
at night.
It's true. We actually, well, we have them ready at 11 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. And it's pretty cool because sometimes they're not ready till 11:15. You know, it's like one of those things, you know. And
it's 11:08, darn it.
They have to go an extra 15 minutes. But it's funny because we'll have a lot of people that will show up and they're waiting on the burger. You know, they want to. It's like a crave burger. You know? And sometimes I'll try to sneak and sneak one too. And I'm like, are they sold out yet?
How many do they go through?
Approximately about 50 on Friday and 50 on Saturday. Just pretty quick, you know. So we try to set that par and.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens is that we'll run out, and then we'll bump it up to 60, and then we'll bump it up to 70. So right now we're at a really good 50. 50 sells out pretty quick, within a couple hours. So,
well, that when you let's go back downstairs. What's your favorite thing on the menu at Butchertown Grocery for you personally, to make and or to eat?
You know, that's a very challenging question. It's like even though that I think that everybody has a favorite kid, and no one wants to mention it. It's like choosing your favorite kid. but I mean, we're all about handcrafted, you know? And yeah. So that's the thing is, like, I love our pasta program. I think our pasta program is really, really, it's exciting. You know, we don't use water in our dough. And that's what you see a lot in a lot of pastas. We go to the culture, you know, we go to the culture and say, hey, you know, what do we want to do to respect the cuisine as much as possible? And so we use olive oil in our dough, and we use a lot of different olive oils and different doughs that, you know, what we're doing. So I think that I really love our pasta program. Besides that, I mean, vegetables, all the vegetable dishes that we do, you know, to really work with these farms and, focus on technique and really educate our young, you know, team that we do have too, you know, on like eating vegetables is good.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm a little in love with, I'm in love with most of the menu. I mean, you know, there's always one stepchild on there, and my stepchild is probably the truffle fries right now because I'm not really a fan, but I still like it. You know,
I don't love truffle fries either. Do you? I mean, you like fries when you could eat them.
Yeah, I remember what they taste like, but those are good.
It's just for sure. You know.
I went in there one afternoon. We were going over to the Copper and Kings for a tour, and you have a lot of people in there early. I mean, you must have a big staff. I can tell you take a lot of care in making sure they're well educated.
A lot of training, you know, a lot of training front of the house and back of the house. We want to make sure that, you know, I have a couple rules for that restaurant is that if you can come in there and you can eat, and then you can turn around and cook the same thing at home, then you should probably not be paying me to do that.
Ooh.
So
interesting philosophy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we're gonna focus on the best ingredients that you probably cannot have access to purchase. And we're gonna focus on the proper technique and our expertise in what we do. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We just take our cuisine. You know, our food and beverage and service we'll take seriously, just not ourselves too much.
You know, your early interview said that you wanted the atmosphere to be like one giant living room in Louisville.
Exactly. I mean, I think that, you know, downstairs, and it's still, I feel like it is becoming that even more and more, but more seasoned. You know, it's like downstairs is my dining room, upstairs is my living room. You know, and that's kind of how I feel. If I'm, you know, downstairs in the kitchen, that's definitely my dining room. We're in the moment, whether it's lunch or dinner, we're trying to put the utmost respect and finesse behind our cuisine. But, you know, at night, you go upstairs and it's like, you know, I would really love a glass of wine right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just a different
and
different
kick back.
Approach. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a good feeling.
We're both in derby mode. And I know you guys aren't on Open Table. I wanted to ask you about that. And okay. Rick and I were both curious about, how do you get a table at Derby?
So that's very interesting. So we just actually moved to Resy.
Okay.
You know, there's a few restaurants in Louisville using Resy right now. I enjoy it. It's one of those things that we actually started looking around and trying to look for a different approach and not using Open Table just because we wanted to direct our guests better. Mm. We wanted our guests to feel more comfortable when they make a reservation. So. And with saying that is that, you know, with us having two floors, it was very challenging when you make a reservation. It's like, am I eating upstairs? Am I eating downstairs? And we couldn't direct traffic the way that we wanted to on the other site. So when we found Resy, we were like, wow, we can do this. It so happened that financially it was a better decision too, you know, so it's kind of like a win-win. And so that's why we chose to go that route.
And Derby tables, nearly impossible?
We're within 30 days. So, yeah. So how's that work? Are you full yet, or when do they come
in? I've been full since about 2.5 months ago. So, it's great. You know, I'm super excited. I mean, we were looking at we're looking at everything, and we always hone in to make sure that our guests can always get in, because with a busy restaurant, you have that fear that people will say like, oh, the restaurant's so busy, I can't get in. You know, so. What we've done is we've manipulated our seating system so that 50%, so for the past 14 months now, 50% of our clientele is walk-in and 50% is reservation.
Did you know that, Rick?
I did not know that.
So it's really cool. So like anybody can come in. I mean, and we always see that traffic, and so it's a nice, and it also, you know, really helps with the flow of traffic in the restaurant. Make sure that everybody gets the service that I want.
Most of those folks, are they local that are bringing out of town people in, or are they out of town people that have Googled, you know, original great restaurants in Louisville, Kentucky?
Yeah, 43%. It's 43% of our reservations, of our revenue last year was from out of town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's your, you must have, take your Butchertown grocery hat off for a minute, and somebody's coming to Louisville Derby Week and wants to go out to eat. What's your advice to them?
Mm.
As far as?
Not
as
at Butchertown. Like, what would you say to someone?
How do they get a good table?
I mean, I would say, you know, it also depends what you're looking for. I mean, are you talking about one of my favorite restaurants or what?
Yeah, sure.
And you got to go to Chicken and Me.
Chicken and Me? Right by my house. Yeah,
Chicken and Me, Lower Brownsboro.
Not
like,
fancy.
To me.
It's very good.
It's not, but it is all about what I think that food is. You know, it's like go in, have a good time, great people, good, just great food. I mean, I'm a fan. I try to sneak in there at least a couple times a week.
So, pretty good.
Yeah, I'm a big, big fan. And it's on my way home, so it's just like, you know, I drive right past it, so it's kind of a weakness.
Easy.
Yeah. It's so bad.
What do you think the sort of the recipe for success is in Louisville, Kentucky on whether a restaurant succeeds or fails?
Wow.
I know it's a big question,
It is a big question. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that it's challenging because there is a lot of restaurants. You know, you're in a city with over a couple thousand restaurants. I don't know. I mean, for us, I think it was just staying after it every single day and every single week. We're still not where we want to be. But at the same time, I think that if you just 100% focus on your guest.
Mm. So all about the guest, 100%. All about the service.
That's it.
So repeat business.
That's right.
From people that are satisfied.
I think that's what it is. I mean, you know, we spend a lot of time every single week just constantly dialing in and making sure that our service is better and better, making sure our food knowledge is better, making sure that our beverage program gets better. And we do it every week.
Yeah.
Like, we don't stop. So that's what I think that in, you know, and we teach, it's not about us. Mm-hmm. It can't be about us because everything that we're doing has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is just saying we're going to try to use the best ingredients and proper techniques. We do techniques at Butchertown Grocery that are from the late 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, you know, early 1900s, you know. So it's like when you're using all these techniques that have been done before, all you are is just respecting culture, you know. And you're respecting culture and you're respecting your guest. And so if you're able to do both, then it's a win.
Spoken like a true chef. Thank you so much for coming in. Oh, you're awesome. We both are fans of Butchertown Grocery.
Thank you
good
so
vibe,
much.
Good vibe, great food. It's so clean. Oh, every, yeah. I mean, seriously, you could eat off the floor at Butchertown Grocery. I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
I'm very, very OCD. And I think that everybody is becoming that. I mean, I've had some of my teammates still look at me and say, Chef, I think that my house is a lot cleaner now than it ever has been. And I'm like, good.
It's infectious. All right.
Makes a difference. So. All right, we got to wrap it up. Bobby, thanks for coming to the studios.
Thank you.
And Carol and I will be back with more Eat, Drink, Talk right after this.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Eat, Drink, Talk with Carolyn McLean and Rick Redding. And at this time, we want to thank our upcoming title sponsor, 4th Street Live.
4th Street Live.
Yeah.
The Taco Fest coming up while I'm gone here.
That's going to be good because a girl can eat some tacos.
And especially when they're $3 tacos. I saw on the release
that yes.
You can get a $3 taco and a whole bunch of different types of tequila.
Yeah.
Mm. To kill you. So that's all good. That's good stuff. So this segment, Carolyn, we're talking about things for people who don't like pay really close attention to what's going on in the restaurant business around town. We're here for you.
Yeah. We're going to give them the latest on the restaurant's openings, and we have quite a few you were going to mention.
Got some openings this week. Cuvillon, and I'm sorry that I never made it there, but at Finn's in Germantown,
mm-hmm.
Did you ever go there?
No.
I didn't either. Maybe that's why they didn't make it. But they didn't make it. And Cuvillon is opening there. And the chef from the Portage House, which gets rave reviews in Southern Indiana, his name's Paul Skoulas. He is in charge, and it's his baby. And they have a Southern menu that has
catfish,
smothered chicken, I think. And the one thing I saw on the menu was a drink that has L81 in it.
Yeah, what was that? It was like you did mention that to me, that you wanted to have a little sip of that.
Yeah, I did. It's way off.
You know what caught me, which is actually, you're going to be like, what? The side item, collard greens.
Yeah.
Because I fell in love with collard greens when I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's hard to find them here.
I have no idea. Well, you need to go down in the West End and someplace like The Table or that new Porkland restaurant that's open down in the West End. Those are great for, I'm sure they have collard greens. So anyway,
April 16th is the opening. April 16th,
A couple other openings this week. Not sure what day, but you've seen all the construction around Kindred down on Theater Square.
Mm-hmm.
It was a while. There used to be a BBC there. That was a pretty nice place I went to several times. Well, they closed that down because of the construction. Now, bigger and better. New and improved.
So BBC is back.
Yeah. Not that it was bad before, but it's new and improved.
Right.
Right there on Theater Square. So
that's cool.
That's going to be a pretty cool thing. And one of my other favorite restaurants, Con Huevos on Frankfort Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool place. But it's very, very small on Frankfort Avenue. Bigger and better place out at Holiday Manor.
Man, Holiday Manor is bustling right now.
That's where you can go, Con Huevos. You got to go and have a breakfast dish out there. It's really good. It's just like basic breakfast with a little bit of a Mexican twist.
Did you know that breakfast is my favorite meal of the day?
No.
Is it yours?
Well, I like breakfast.
But you don't love it.
I kind of love it.
Okay.
I'm
like breakfast for dinner. I mean, I love breakfast.
I love it. I love it as well, and eggs are on my diet of things that I can have, so I'm having a lot of that lately.
Cool.
So that's all good. So those are the big stories that are in terms of openings in the city, so that's pretty cool.
I do want to mention, even though it's not like opening this week, but the new ice cream infused with alcohol Earlers shop that's going downtown. I think it's like on 4th Street. You read about that, right?
I did read about that.
From the old Earlers.
Nothing like something you love, like ice cream, and something you love, like alcohol.
Put together. Can you imagine those malts? Because Earlers used to have the best malt.
Best thing since peanut butter and chocolate, right?
So we're going there.
We will go there.
I think it opens this summer. Put that on your list.
That's fun. And you said you got your first job at Earlers.
Yeah. I mean, I know it sounds so cheesy, but they hold a special place in my heart because I remember being, 14, 15, telling my mom and dad I wanted a job. And they were like, what? And I said, well, I'll just walk to Earlers from the way down Breckenridge Lane on the sidewalk to that Earlers by Seneca Park. And I literally had a couple of shifts and worked a summer job there. And so, yeah, it holds a little special place in my heart. Yeah. And now I know how to scoop ice cream and make malts and sundaes.
Me too, because the one across from Iroquois Park was a big spot in my childhood, and we always had, it was a special treat at home if Mom bought a half gallon of chocolate marshmallow. That was your ice cream, huh? That was awesome. Yeah, that was great. So anyway, so speaking of eating around, let's talk about your great staycation that you had.
Oh, at the Omni.
It has to do with local hotel business.
How
about the Omni?
So I did. We did an overnight, myself and a few other moms and their 12-year-old girls, and we had rooms next to one another. And it was, Omni is the bomb. Let me just say, we got a great spring rate of $137 plus tax, and it was a great 24 hours. I mean, we were in the rooftop pool because it was that sunny Tuesday that was like in the 70s.
That long Tuesday,
and the hot tub. And then the kids had their breakfast at the market, and they could pick whatever they wanted. I mean, we were in the library, and the moms had a couple of cocktails while the kids were sitting around reading and chilling and playing cards. It was awesome.
I want to know how well you bowled.
So the kids wouldn't let us bowl. Let me just say this about the bowling. There are only a few lanes.
Two.
And so you really have to book them in advance if you're interested. And kids get kicked out at 8, which I'm totally cool with that. But I'm just saying, if you go with kids, you got to bowl before 8 o'clock when it turns into the full-blown, pin-and-proof, speakeasy adults only.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Rick, do you think this is expensive? It was $100 for 1 hour. for that lane.
For just the lane?
Yeah.
Wow. That's steep.
That's what I was going to say. I don't bowl normally, but I think that might be pricey.
It's like $3 a game. Yeah.
So, is what it should be. So save your money if you're going to bowl.
Yeah, don't go for the practice for your league at that place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we did something else while we were there, we should mention, because you can see it on the website. We did a video and a photo shoot, and it's really cool. It's in smack dab in the middle of the Eat Drink Talk website right now is a about a 30-second video of Carolyn and I.
So you can put a voice with a face, I guess.
We're yucking it up in the
sweet conference. So where do you tell your friends to go to listen to the podcast? I mean, are we sending them right to eatdrinktalk.net?
Well, eatdrinktalk.net is the ideal place to go because not only the podcasts are there, which are great, including all the ones we did before, but we have an RSS feed of all the news about town, about restaurants and bars. We have a calendar of events that includes the Taco Festival at 4th Street Live, and a lot of Derby events are starting to – I'm personally doing that myself, but mm-hmm. those up there. And our friend Laura Wallace of Louisville City Concierge is supplying us with daily reminders of things that are going on. So if you want to sort of know what's going on in terms of foodie events, restaurant events,
fun events,
drinking events, that's the place to go.
Okay.
Drinktalk.net.
Okay, got it.
All right. That's where we go. So you wanted to mention – that you went to the movies.
Oh. You caught me, and I'm so close to sneezing.
That was a near sneeze.
I'm glad I didn't all over the microphone. Yeah, we saw A Quiet Place, the movie, and it grossed $50 million.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the concept, right, of A Quiet Place?
I've heard a little bit about it.
It's like
I haven't been.
Apocalyptic, and they are man-eating monsters, and they get you because if you make even the smallest noise, they can hear it, and then they just eat you, like, so fast. They snap you up so fast, and they are scary looking. And so it's about this family trying to survive this. And it's so you are on the edge of your seat the entire time. And I'm just going to tell you, if you get popcorn, you might not even eat it, because if it makes the slightest noise, you're going to be like, oop, like, I'm bugging my neighbor, or it's just intense. But it's really good, and I recommend it.
I believe you, and I might get talked into going, but anything with monsters or spaceships and stuff like that in it.
No spaceships in this.
I generally don't go.
No, it's good. It's really good. And I don't like scary movies. And I went and I loved it. So,
okay.
Okay.
Well, there you go. A Quiet Place, a recommendation from you on that. So I wanted to talk about my new diet. I'm doing very well. I'm down to I've lost 11 pounds in a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. And one of the places I was recommended to go was Ditto's. And now Ditto's has been there a long time. You're familiar with that
I
place?
I've grown up with Ditto's. I've always been a Ditto's fan.
Like it's been there forever.
Bardstown Road.
So Peggy Heiser and all and her crew they go there and they're like, you go in and you say, I want the Heiser fish thing, and they know what it is. They've got their personal. It's really become, I guess, a neighborhood place. There's a lot of regulars in there, and I had this blackened cod that was just awesome with a salad, and felt
tasty
full and tasty. It got a lot of spicy enough,
mm-hmm.
and when you're not eating pizza and pasta and potatoes and stuff anymore, that's as good as it gets.
You miss it. Do you miss the? I mean, you were a cheeseburger guy. You got to miss it a little.
Well, I like the. I like the pizza is the biggest thing.
Mm.
I'm missing. I'm missing the bourbon a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I found.
But you probably have more energy.
I do. I feel better.
Yeah.
I'm going tomorrow for my second set of labs work to see if they've changed since I started. And the questions they ask, what they want to see has changed. Has your mental clarity changed?
Hmm.
And I said, yeah. Now that I think of it, maybe.
Okay.
I think so. And the other stuff that's changed, it's a big change.
So you don't think it's hocus pocus is what you're telling me?
No, I'm a believer in the in the Heiser health optimization thing. And, it's just like Bobby was telling us, eating natural foods and eating healthy options, it does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that you drive down the road and there's McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, all this stuff that I don't eat anymore, and that a lot of the population, I mean, there's still lines to get in to mm-hmm. McDonald's in the morning, but I feel like I'm so much better off.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, for whatever it's worth, that was the big thing. We got time for a couple more items.
Masters.
Oh, yeah, the Masters.
I mean, the Masters. Well, yeah, you talk about what you did over the weekend. I've been watching the Masters.
I couldn't tear myself away from the TV on Sunday. I kept pulling. First, I was, Rory, you're going to get this guy. And then Jordan Spieth, you're going to get him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Nobody ever got Patrick Reed.
Well, okay, what's interesting to me, Rick, is that I saw non-Americans or Americans cheering for the non-American. So I heard the crowd was going crazy for Rory.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
from Northern Ireland, and you didn't hear much about your boy who won, Patrick Reed.
Well, you know, some of the most popular players in golf were on the leaderboard, and I would say the most popular players in golf, Rory is certainly one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Spieth is one of them. Ricky Fowler.
I like Ricky.
Whenever I see Ricky Fowler, I think of him back when he had all that hair.
Uh-huh.
You know, now he's so clean-cut looking.
But I like Ricky.
He used to have that big mop of hair. It was cool. Yeah, I got Ricky Fowler Puma shoes for when I play golf.
Okay, so, that's cool.
Yeah. So anyway, here's the thing.
So when the crowd wasn't, you know, cheering for Patrick Reed, I turned to Lachlan. And for those that are listening, that Lachlan is my husband, who is a radio host for an ESPN affiliate, and he has been following golf in one way or another his whole life. He said, you know, the jury is still out on Patrick Reed, and people might not like this guy because he has a past. He's
kind
got a strange history where he was almost expelled from the University of Georgia, but he definitely was kicked off the golf team for stealing and cheating. Went to Augusta State. Is at Augusta State. There's some rumblings of some similar situations. Estranged from his mom and dad. He just got an odd background for a golfer with the success that he's had at such a young age, and I don't know.
When God gives out talent, He doesn't just give it to the good guys; He gives it to jerks too.
Well, we don't know unequivocally that he is a jerk, but my point is that. And by the way, the Thursday of the Masters, Louisville, Kentucky, had the highest TV rating for watching.
Well, there you go.
So we're a golf town.
Yeah, and we had crappy weather. So
yeah, that's true. Good.
But, yeah, you got to win the Masters for all those bad stories about your past come out, I guess. And that's what's happening to Patrick Reed. I've always thought he was kind of – he's not really that
– Did he rub you the wrong way?
Yeah, I never felt like I want to get in this guy's court and pull for
uh-huh.
him. So.
Kind of what, the cockiness or
– I didn't know all these stories about his past, but it doesn't surprise me. So
we'll have to see what he does with his celebrity now, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's at a pivotal point where he can change it around and be in the public's favor. But if he keeps going down the road that he was on, I don't know.
I predict he'll get some counseling and not counseling like with a therapist, but just somebody.
You're saying some PR help.
We'll set him aside and give him some advice on how to handle the public.
Yeah, and the press, because they're writing about you.
Yeah, exactly. Big events over the weekend, though. I'm sure you saw this. My favorite thing, because I had the guy on the show, the wheel guy.
Oh, yeah.
The big wheel.
The observation
downtown.
Wheel.
The weather was horrible and everything, but something happened to the wheel on Saturday, and they had to shut it down. Some glitch. They
uh-huh.
called it a glitch.
Okay.
I don't know if you thought they handled the PR on that very well or not.
So, okay.
As a PR expert
I can talk to you about that. I used to be the PR spokeswoman for Six Flags Kentucky Kingdom, and I was also the vice president of corporate communications for Cedar Fair that owns Kings Island and Cedar Point. And I can tell you that is not an odd thing to happen whatsoever. I mean, these machines, roller coasters, the giant wheel, you name it, rides – they are sophisticated computers, and when they detect a problem, they safely shut themselves down. And sometimes you're going to be waiting there for a little bit, but it could be the wind blew the wrong way. I mean, it is the smallest thing that
it
can stop
like a
ride.
Really serious thing, but I took special note. I thought, I'm glad Paul and I have already ridden this, because if she saw this story, she wouldn't come within 100 yards of that place.
Yeah.
She's scared of shit.
She's scared of heights, too, though.
Yeah. So, it was enough that when I told her it was the first time it's ever been assembled and put up here and it was in Louisville, she didn't want to get off for that reason. She wanted somebody else to do that. So that was the wheel.
That was the wheel.
The wheel. All right, so we got to wrap it up here, but I remind everybody to celebrate Mint Julep Month. It's going on right now. Did you know that? It's an official
thing. I did, because I got a little pin in the mail. Did you get one of those from Maker's Mark?
Yeah.
Right? So,
and it's all over the country. They're having these Mint Julep events. There's a plenty of them going on in Louisville, and, you know, everybody's got their opinion on Mint Juleps, right?
I like one.
Yeah.
But nothing past that.
I love them. My favorite.
Or it's dangerous.
My favorite story is that the they're off luncheon, which is coming up in a week or two. They used to put mint juleps at every place at a table. And one year I went and I was at a table where nobody liked them.
You drank everyone else's?
It was great. It was.
I'm sure it was.
I stumbled out of there in some sort of shape that was not.
Hello, Uber. Yeah. If they even had them then, no, I don't know.
This was pre-Uber, so I don't know what I did. I think I stumbled back to the
office. But you
know
what about a mint julep? The people that come in from out of town cannot handle their liquor, and they start downing these at the track. They don't even make it to the Derby. Yeah. I see it every year, these sloshed. So anyway.
It's pretty easy. So anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, that's what Eat Drink Talk is all about. Carolyn and I are happy to be here in our second week of producing the show. It is available in all kinds of places. I did find out it is on Stitcher now.
Okay.
I had to get Dan to do that. It's on iTunes, and it's at eatdrinktalk.net, which is our favorite place to send you to find out what's going on in the world of Louisville, Kentucky's culinary and drinking scene.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's what we call it.
I know.
All right. So, so check it out each and every week. Next week, I'll be not here, but Carolyn will...
I'll be here to talk smack.
There you go.
Yeah.
Be plenty of smack to talk as we lead up to the Kentucky Derby, and it's like 20-something days now. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. So thanks again for joining us on Eat, Drink, Talk, and we'll be back next week.
Have a great week, folks.
Catch up on the city's restaurant scene every day by visiting eatdrinktalk.net. Yum, yum.